It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Welcome to Hockey Hot Dish, a Minnesota Wild podcast from Hockey Wilderness at SB Nation. I am Matthew Smith. You can find me on Twitter at From Tape to Tape, and I am here with Thomas Williams.
Hello, I'm Thomas Williams. I'm site manager at Hockey Wilderness. Hello, Matt. How's it going?
It's okay. Yeah. You would think and hope that after like a week long break from Minnesota Wild hockey that you would come back to it like rip roaring ready to go.
Yeah, it's struggling. I was excited for the game. Despite staying up so late, and we're talking about the Kings game, of course, that they unfrustratingly lost. But I stayed up late. I was excited. Whatever. Like, get back into it. New lineups. Jordan Greenway's returning. Perfect. And then just completely flat, just nothing's going on. And then, so just what a great time to have two games in the last 7 days and they haven't scored a goal in them. It's just perfect.
Yeah, I think as you pointed out, the Minnesota Wild have officially not scored a goal in over a week or in a week's time. Yeah. It sounds a lot worse than it actually is, but it's nonetheless true.
I mean, yeah, like if we're not doing our jobs as like people that talk about the sport, if we don't bend the stats to what we want to say.
Yeah, make the stats work for your narrative. Who cares if the narrative is true? Yeah. I thought maybe we could just talk about maybe some of the solutions or some of the ideas that we can come up with to sort of pull the Wild out of the sort of rut that they find themselves in, I guess, to begin the season. It feels like we're 12, 13 games into the season already, and it just feels bad. This has not been great.
Well, there's the whole, it's like steadily approaching, but it's the whole like cliche, and it's a cliche for a reason, or a stereotype or whatever. It's like a saying for a reason, because it's mostly true, is that if you're a playoff team that's not in the playoff spot, if you're a team that's not in a playoff spot by American Thanksgiving, then you're usually not going to be there. And the Wild aren't currently in a playoff spot, and Thanksgiving is in what, like 2 weeks? So it's not a great look. And I know that I feel like you can blame injuries on it, like missing Foligno and Hartman and Duhame for a while now, and then is kind of a rough spot, and then hopefully Greenway can kind of come back in full force. But I don't know. It's like, it's tricky to think about what they can do. Like, what are your first thoughts on it? Like, what they can do to start winning hockey games?
Well, I mean, the pragmatist in me thinks that they should just stay the course. I think, yeah, like, there's been a lot of bad luck and injuries and stuff that sort of contributed to the slow start to the season. It sort of felt like everything started with those first two really bad games, and they've never really gotten out of that rut since.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, we're talking about a team that has is in the same sort of group for 5-on-5 goals for as the Arizona Coyotes, the Chicago Blackhawks, the absolutely putrid St. Louis Blues. It just isn't good. So they need to do, it feels like something needs to happen. And I think that there are some pathways to sort of shake everything up, because the guys the players on the team that you would have expected to step in and sort of change what's going on in the team in the dressing room have performed sort of the way we've wanted them to or expected them to. So really it's on like the old guard, I guess, to sort of pick up the slack. And when I mean, we can name names. I would probably say like Matt Dumba, Marcus Foligno, even Joel Eriksson-Ek has not really felt like himself, even though he's still keeping up with the point production.
Yeah, like it's, I think the defense has been a lot of Eriksson-Ek's game that you've obviously focused on. And then it's just not been, the whole team-wide defense hasn't been there. But like offensively, there is definitely an issue. I feel like that has to be addressed over everything. Like goaltending, it was a concern. And then Fleury's just suddenly been good. I doubt that'll keep this way forever. But we can at least.
But I will take, you know, creamy middles from him. Like, I don't, we don't need the ultra highs or the very low lows.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, we can at least pause on like the goaltending crisis and worry about that. But offensively, it's just been a problem like from the start, I feel like. Like, all situations, what now? They have. Oh God, I have to count. The 24th ranked shooting percentage in all situations. So it's hovering around other teams that are like not performing well, like the Flames, and then it's like Sharks, Blue Jackets, Panthers, Rangers, whatever. And then Blues are dead last because they just are terrible. But like it's something that, okay, this is actually really funny. Okay. So you know, you're just talking about the Coyotes production. And like how it's not there. So they lead the league in shot percentage.
I was just thinking that. I was like, are they like overperforming?
Yeah, they are.
I mean, there's no doubt that they're overperforming. They're really, really bad. Yeah. But I mean, they also, the Wild have also the third worst PDO in the league. Mm-hmm. I mean, it depends on how much you believe in PDO to sort of describe luck. But yeah, it's. There needs to be something like, is there specific solutions? Like what around, let's just start with trades, okay. I guess. Like a trade seems like an obvious thing to sort of shake up the dressing room and the on ice product. And it feels like we've been talking about trading Matt Dumba for absolute years, for probably almost his entire tenure. And he's got an expiring contract. There's almost no way that I can see them re-signing him. So he sort of seems to be like the number one name on the chopping block. If you were going to do like a shake him up trade, and especially with his sort of poor play.
Yeah.
Like, do you see, like, is there a move that you can think of with involving Dumba?
Like it's hard. Cause you look at Dumba and you look at what he's meant to the team and everything. And you know, Guerin is so emotionally tied to this roster, and I mentioned it on, I think it was the Mile High Hockey, the Avs podcast, went on quickly, that just like before the season, but they're talking about Dumba, and it's like you don't trade away, you don't make a bunch of other trades to keep a guy through two expansion drafts to then just send him on his way as soon as like he might not be playing super well. I think the most likely scenario, like very, very likely, is that he just stays with the Wild until the end of the season, unless the Wild are complete dog shit, which I guess you could say that right now. But I feel like the pressure will be building eventually in, say, 6 to 8 weeks of trading Dumba if the team's not better. Now you got caught. Now you have me caught in a hard place of figuring out what team would actually want Dumba. Oh boy.
I mean, while you're trying to figure that out, like Matt Dumba's got 2 points in 12 games.
Yeah.
Which is not great. he had 27 in 57 games last year. He did spend a fair amount of time hurt, like a lot of guys have. But yeah, he's been. At Hockey Wilderness, I feel like we've always been pretty big cheerleaders for Dumba, but his warts, when they do show, are really bad. He can be kind of sloppy defensively. And it feels like those have turned up a lot this year, and that's probably sort of tied to Brodin's poor play and his inability to cover up for some of those mistakes, or whoever Dumba has been playing with, because there has been a fair amount of shuffling going on.
Yeah, like Brodin has been like incredible the past few seasons, but I feel like this season just a little started. As soon as like he slips up a little bit, like he doesn't have the partnership with Dumba that Dumba can come up and like support him in a way. It's not a very like two-sided relationship. So I do have a hypothetical trade, or at least a team that I feel like should be interested in Dumba. And that is the Buffalo Sabres.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. So, I was actually talking to somebody from Expected Buffalo about this, because at the time, they've been in all sorts of, like dire situations with their defense. A lot of guys have been injured. I think at one point they had 4 injured defensemen. So they were kind of desperate to just like even keep a fully fielded defense group out there.
Yeah.
They were talking about John Merrill, and I think at the time I said I can't really see that happening. But Dumba is an interesting sort of like potential trade for them.
The only issue I see is that Buffalo is smart this season, and they have people in with control and power that can look up and see that Dumba's not playing well despite whatever pedigree he has. And obviously Sabres have a bunch of prospects, so it'd be like, and cap space. So I feel like if you're going for a team like the Sabres, if you're sending Dumba to them, I feel like you're just getting picks and prospects because they have cap space, and just like kind of keep the rotation in, build your core that is going to be around Rossi and Boldy, Brock Faber, Kalen Addis, and bring those guys like around and around that age group. So like an Isaac Rosen, or I don't think you're getting Jack Quinn or anything like that for Dumba, but like someone that's kind of around, just recently drafted since like 2019 or whatever. Another team that honestly I feel like is way more realistic just because of who they have tried to acquire recently, and their blue line looks terrible for what they want to be, is the Florida Panthers. They have like no one on the blue line of note. Like Josh Mahura is playing like the top pairing, I'm pretty sure, and they claimed him off waivers. But because they have no cap space, again, it'd be like the opposite of the Sabres deal, where you would be trying to acquire cap space. And there is Patrick Hornquist, who makes $5.3 million. So you could do a little bit of salary matching with, say, you get Hornquist and then a prospect like, I don't know, Sarah Noel or something like that, just to match it out. So I feel like there's options and teams that would be interested in Dumba. It's just a matter of if the Wild want to go down that road and when they do. Because I feel like if they're in this position, then it's no question that they'll probably trade Dumba at the deadline. But it's just all depends on their current situation. And if you see Dumba as someone that could actually contribute to a team that wants to get better.
Yeah, I think the Florida Panthers are an interesting team. Patrick Hornquist would not be the name I would be looking
at. I'm just thinking of salary.
I mean, salary-wise, if you could somehow make Sam Reinhart work, that would be the one, if they would give him up. Because I think that in this situation, like, the Wild can't just be dumping Matt. Like, I still think that Dumba is going to be, like, a plus asset. So you should be able to get something other than a 35-year-old on an expiring deal. I'm just saying, with concussion issues.
I mean, I don't, like I'm seeing Hornquist as, like, a cap dump, and, like, he's on the Panthers' fourth line. Like, if it's hypothetically, we're playing armchair DM, we love it, we love doing it, but say it's Hornquist, their second this year, which might be like a top like 50 pick, which in this draft is still pretty good. And then someone like a Sarah Noel, who has, let me see,
Oh, he hasn't even played this year. Okay, never mind. I don't know. Like, someone, Justin Sordeef, let me see quickly. 4 points in 8 games. He's 20 years old. Yeah, sure. Like, some prospect, like a decent prospect that they drafted recently in the top 2 rounds, and just someone to add a little bit of not to just have it as like a cap dump and a pick or whatever.
Yeah, I think it's really going to come down to like what Guerin thinks of this team. Like, if you were to get rid of Dumba, is it in a hockey trade in the hopes of sort of jump starting this roster, or is it, you know, pushing the, like, kicking the can down the road on the whole structure of the team?
I think
where you're looking at Zuccarello as no longer part of this team, where you're looking at like that sort of decision. If you're trading Dumba for, you know, picks and prospects or one or the other, you are sort of deciding that this team is not going to be really competitive for the next 2 or 3 years.
Yeah. But it's also a matter of like not losing out. Like, the only thing issue would be if you're trading Dumba away in, say, a hockey trade, then be a team that wants to stay competitive. And it's a matchup of competitive teams don't usually have cap space to spend. And then whoever you're getting back is probably on like a decently sized deal. Like, if, yeah, like, I don't even know who to really look at. Cause it, again, it's all taking away from a team that is good, and you just expect them to want to keep good players around because they want to be good. Like, it's kind of a wishy-washy thing. Like, do the Penguins go after it, but they have literally zero cap space, like $5,000. So then are you looking at just acquiring random players that make up that room? So then you're looking at like getting Jason Zucker back. Like, I don't know. That's just a weird deal.
Yeah.
And like, it's tricky. Cause then also the Penguins are suddenly losing offensive depth. And why would they do that when they're struggling and blah, blah, blah. But like, I think right now for the next like two months, it'll all just be waiting for guys to come back and see what's up. Cause like you said, like the realistic approach is to just keep going at it and just seeing what they have and seeing if this roster can do so much, because it is still a change roster. It does have Marco Rossi on it. It does have guys like, like Sam Steele, if he can do anything good. But like, I feel like we'll kind of start to figure out maybe pairings too, because I don't think when everyone comes back that it's written in stone that Foligno will go back with Eriksson Ek and Greenway. Like, I think if Eriksson Ek and Boldy have this connection and then Greenway comes back as kind of a space clearer, then suddenly Foligno's job might be on the fourth line and might replace someone like Sam Steele. And Sam Steele sees himself as a 13 forward or on waivers soon. Like, it's something that I feel like this roster is way better than they currently are. And they're missing really key players like Foligno and Hartman that provides that scoring depth, because it's the Stars can't do it all themselves. Like, if you look at just like who's leading the team in scoring, it's Kaprizov, Zuccarello, Boldy, and Eriksson Ek. And then those are the guys that you expect to be hovering around like at this stage of the game, around a point per game, and then they'll drop off a little bit. But that's where your depth like Foligno and Hartman comes through. So I think it's just waiting around, seeing what happens, and then figuring out kind of an enticing lineup decision, because seeing a third line, and I love Mason Shaw, I love Connor Dewar, but seeing a third line feature both of them as wingers isn't the most inspiring thing to kind of have.
Okay, well, we're going to take a quick break and then we'll keep talking. We'll keep talking it out in a little Minnesota Wild therapy session.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, welcome back. We were just talking about some of what ails the Minnesota Wild and sort of the reason that they find themselves in this early season doldrum. You did mention that the Stars are producing guys like Eriksson Ek, Kaprizov, Zuccarello, Boldy. And I mean, you were talking about how this team sort of waiting and seeing to see if this team can produce anywhere near what they were like last year. And just to like put that into perspective, like at 5-on-5, they had the second highest shooting percentage in the league last year. And they now have the fourth worst. I mean, Kevin Fiala was a really dynamic scorer, but he wasn't that dynamic.
I mean, yeah, but like it's I already mentioned Foligno and Hartman, but I feel like it's those guys that they're missing, because that's why their shooting percentage was so high, because they got in those dangerous areas. Because if you look at the team's high danger shot percentage,
shooting percentage,
they are what? They are 11th.
Actually, they're actually good. Almost right around what they were last year.
So they're like, in overall, it's just Foligno and Hartman are those guys that will finish around the net, and they don't have them. And that's why their shooting percentage was like sky high last year. And I'm not saying that they'll be able to, like, I think it was Marcus Foligno literally led the league in shooting percentage last year with like 40 or something like
that. Yeah.
I don't think that they're going to repeat that, but it is still a skill that you could have a shooting percentage over 20 or whatever, because you pick and choose your chances, and you're skillful enough that you can kind of scrap and get to that front of the net spot, where clearly the Wild are still getting enough chances out there, because they are still like, oh, they're 22nd in raw, like whatever, all situations, high dangerous chances, but still, like, it's just got getting those guys back, and I feel like then kind of trickles down and provides a little bit more depth.
So one other sort of the reason that we were talking about this is because yesterday we were sort of talking back and forth during the game about there's sort of a concept going around that if the Wild are going to pick themselves out of this, they're going to have to sort of vulture another team who's really struggling, who most people would think would be competitive but hasn't been so far. And St. Louis Blues are coming up, because sort of the reports in the media are that they're very ready to blow it up because it's going so poorly. I don't see many names on that team. They really invested in the young guys who performed well last year, specifically like Jordan Kyrou and Robert Thomas, and you are not getting one of those from the Blues. And also, I don't know if you want one of them. They signed both of them to 8-year extensions, so they're in the final year, I think, of their first or second contracts, and they signed them to, I don't think it was identical, but it was, they're both $8.5 million plus. Or 8.125.
Yeah, they're identical.
Identical. And they're 23 and 24. And I don't think that either of those guys, Robert Thomas is interesting, but again, you'd have to give up so much to get Robert Thomas. And also, I think that they're probably looking at those two guys as like their core if they're going to kick the can down the road. So that leaves guys like Ryan O'Reilly, Vladimir Tarasenko, Paul Buchnevich, Brain Chen, I guess. But all of these guys have like 6.5+ contracts. And specifically, like, Ryan O'Reilly is an interesting name, but he's on an expiring contract. So if the Wild were to sort of go for a 31-year-old first second line center, you're kind of expecting them, they'd have to be going for it all this year and sort of accept that they're not doing it next year.
Yeah. And like O'Reilly, I would love Ryan O'Reilly on this team because I feel like he's just another big center or whatever. But also, like, what would you actually have to trade to get him? And it's not guaranteed, but like, he's looking for a massive payday. Like, it's not, you're not acquiring Mark Giordano if you're the Leafs or whatever, and you're expecting, okay, this is like going to be your last contract. We could extend you, like, we're technically getting you as a rental, but we'll extend you a year or two and know that it'll be cheap because you're just kind of in your twilight years. Like, Ryan O'Reilly's at 31. Same age as Kadri when he was kind of got his deal last summer. He's going to get a massive payday and will increase from his 7.5 million cap hit right now. And I feel like the Wild don't have that ready. So especially with Matt Boldy's contract negotiations coming up this summer. So you're simply acquiring him for a rental. And then you have to ask yourself if this team is even good enough to really try to go out and get rentals. Because if you're trading away prospects for guys like O'Reilly who will hang around for a year, then like, what are you doing? And then you're kind of, then if you don't like do anything, then you're kind of just stuck without a prospect and without a player.
Right. Yeah. Like, I'm focusing on the forwards because I feel like we've been talking about what they can do to upgrade their center depth on this team for years. And that's mostly because the center depth has never been particularly great. And it's by far the easiest spot to like do a swap and improve their value. The St. Louis Blues are probably not that trade partner. I really like Paul Buchnevich, but I don't know what you would have to give up for him. And maybe a guy on an expiring deal for the St. Louis Blues is something that you'd be interested in because it just takes money off the books. But like, there was talk of Colton Parayko, and that seems so dumb to me. I don't know why the Wild would ever be interested in a guy who is signed till the end of time at $6.5 million and who is essentially Matt Dumba. Maybe you think that he's better defensively, but he hasn't been this, like, he wasn't last year. So that seems risky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like, he's in his first year of his contract. Like, I don't know if you really want that. And again, he's 29.
And he's 29.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
so he's, can't remember how long he's assigned till, but he'll be probably 35, 36 when that contract is over.
He's signed for 8 years. This is the first year of his deal. So he will be
37. And that is bad. the Wild, with some bad moves or some stuff not panning out, the Wild could find themselves in an extremely similar situation to the St. Louis Blues.
Yeah.
They have similar cap structure. They have some young guys that are really, really interesting, but they also have, you know, $27 million tied up into the most mediocre blue line in the NHL. Guys like Justin Falk making $6.5 million and Tory Krug making $6.5 million. Yeah, it's just like not a team that you could vulture off of, really, if that is the goal.
Yeah, and like, I think it's so funny because I don't think this team, because now you have to like think of broad, big picture and like, are the Wild good enough to even consider themselves like a dangerous team right now? And I feel like, sure, like before the season, we saw everyone predicting, oh, they could even compete for the division title over the Avs and everything. And of course, it's a long season, and we're not. And but again, we like just talking about what already happened and what we know. But like, this team is still built for long term. Like, Kaprizov, Eriksson Ek, Greenway, Matthew Boldy, Marco Rossi are five forwards that you can kind of build, like, are decent enough that you could think of them at, like, on a very good team, and they're 25 or under. And then you get into the blue line, obviously, and you have your staples of Spurgeon and Brodin, and they're not getting younger. But you have, like, Jacob Middleton's only 26. You have Kalen Addison, obviously, at 22. Like, there's still, like, this, like, sense of future and sense of long-term planning that I feel like, yeah, it is disappointing that the Wild are off to a bad start, but this is still a team built for the long haul, and it's not necessarily smart to give that up and change plans because you're starting slightly below where you expected. Because, like, say, like, if would we even be talking about it in the same light if the Wild simply won two more games than they have right now, and then they'd be like tied with the Avs in points?
Like, probably not. Yeah, I was going to talk about the Avs, because the Avs currently only have two more points than they do.
You win one more game and you're tied with the Avs. Like,
yeah, they played two less games, yeah. I think. Or one, they played one less game. Yeah. So they have, yeah. And, I mean, I'm not terribly plugged into the Avalanche space, but, I mean, are they talking about tearing it down?
No.
Like, are they talking?
Exactly. Like, we had to get rid of Kadri after we won. It's like the typical, like, we won the cup, so we had to trade some dudes or get, like, let them walk. And then this is just, like, who we are now. And we'll probably get better, but whatever. Like, there's no panic. We're, like, the Wild are, like, desperate to see a first, like, an actual playoff series win. And that's probably why, because, like, you see, like, are Chicago and Arizona going to be ahead of you in the standings for the entire season? I hope not. Like, it's...
It would, yeah, I feel like that speaks more to, you know, those two, like, playing out of their league than it does to the Wild, sort of with a slow start. And again, like, if those two, even if we weren't to change anything about the Minnesota Wild's record, if Chicago and Arizona hadn't had the start that they've had, as mediocre as it is, like, they would be fourth in the division, like, and behind, and we probably still wouldn't be talking about it. It's just like the sticker shock of seeing the Minnesota Wild in sixth in the Central.
Yeah.
Is tough to swallow.
Yeah. So I think it's still super, like, long term. No moves really need to be made right now. And I still think this team is good enough to, like, they'll be in the playoffs this year. I don't think that there's really issue of that, unless it's somehow this bad luck just continues and they have, what was it, talking about the Avs again, but what was that season where, like, the Avs actually got, oh, whatever, they finished.
I don't know what you're referring to.
There was one season. Oh my God. Now I have to look this up.
Like the Patrick Waugh season, or is that what you're talking about?
Probably. There's one season where they,
like, the McCarr season?
Yeah. Where
they drafted McCarr? Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It was 2017. Yeah, where they drafted McCarr. So, like, it was that season where, like, their shooting percentage was, like, insanely low. Like, it was just, like, there was no way that, like, that could be repeated again just because of how bad luck, how, like, unlucky they just had for the entire season. Like, they had a 2.93 points percentage. Like, that's just insane. They lost 56 games.
Sorry, that was their shooting percentage?
No.
I was like, can you have a 3% shooting percentage?
Let me look this shit up now. How do you ask?
What was it?
Shooting percentage, 7.16. And the next lowest were the Panthers at 7.75. So considering the difference between second and, oh God, now I have to do math. The difference between the Avs and the next best team, the Panthers, is the same percentage, like, same number as
between the Panthers and the 8th worst Ottawa Senators.
Oh,
so
wow.
It was a huge jump. Like way below. And again, their save percentage wasn't that great either at 8, at second last. Only the Stars had worse. So it's just like a crazy unlucky spell that this team just wasn't able to score any goals. I don't think that's going to happen with the Wild with the talent that they have, because it's specific talent that can finish around the net and boost that up and win games. But again, I think there's no panic to be needed. But if, again, I'll say that, and then like 2 weeks from now, I'm like, this team sucks so bad, just because they lost like, I don't know, a random game against the Chicago or something. Like, so what can you say?
I don't see Matt Dumba like with the team past the trade deadline.
Really?
And I think that gets done no matter what. I think regardless of the situation the team's in. And if they don't want to trade Matt Dumba, they can always fire Dean Evason. So, and that's also something that I've seen bandied around, and not just in the Hockey Wilderness group chat. So,
well, yeah.
But I think Garen is just going to be patient with this team. I don't think that he thinks that this team is performing the way that it is expected to or can. They're not playing up to their level, kind of a thing.
Yeah. So yeah, I think there's a lot of patience to be had with this team, and I think that also, this is a whole different conversation, but with Dumba staying past the deadline, I think that they're going to, if they're good, like it's a matter of thing of like keeping your leadership together. And like, I feel like it's a very, it'd be jarring for them to be so like forward thinking to just say that they could trade someone that's been with their team for a decade in like this hope to win a playoff series while he's there.
Right. And my thinking is that he does mean so much to this team that it'll be like, we're going to send you to we're going to send you where you want to go, kind of a thing.
Yeah, but that's for next year. That's where you get to choose.
You're going to trade it away.
You get to
rights.
Choose exactly where you, yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
No, you get to choose exactly where you play without our help. Like,
you
know,
yeah, but you get to help out the team on your way out the door.
Whatever.
One big ask, buddy. Yeah, I mean, it sucks. I do love Matt Dumba. I think he's great. Probably fourth favorite player, and I was like, that's not true. He's like fourth. He's playing above his station in my favorite players like ranking.
Yeah. There you go.
Okay, well, thank you so much for joining me, Thomas. And thank you, everybody, for listening to Hockey Hot Dish. Check out HockeyWilderness.com for new articles every day.
Every day.
All right. Thanks, Thomas. Bye.